Australia has recorded its first two cases of the new Omicron COVID-19 variant. Urgent genomic testing confirmed that two overseas travellers who flew into Sydney on Saturday have now tested positive to Omicron. That's despite both being vaccinated for COVID-19. Like the US and Europe, Australia has now suspended flights from 9 southern African countries and closed its borders to any foreign nationals who've been to that region. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa has called on the international community to reverse the travel bans.
We are deeply disappointed by the decision of several countries to prohibit travel from a number of southern African countries, including our own, following the identification of the Omicron variant. This is a clear and completely unjustified departure from the commitment that many of these countries made at the meeting of the G20 countries in Rome last month.
That's South African President Cyril Ramaphosa. Well, Dr. Angelique Kurtzia is the head of the South African Medical Association. She is also the doctor who alerted the South African authorities about the Omicron variant. She joins us from Pretoria. Doctor, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you so much, and thank you for asking so much opinion. And I need to say I wish all your listeners a very good morning and a good day for today.
Thank you very much. Angelique, you first became aware of the new possibility of a new variant within your own patients. What were you seeing? What triggered your alarm or alertness to this?
First of all, we haven't seen any new really COVID cases since for the last 8 to 10 weeks. We are past our third wave, and I got a male patient, youngish, 30 years of age, coming in with severe tiredness and fatigue the past 2 days, with a bit of a body aches and pains and a headache, very much symptoms of viral infection, not a patient that will usually come to the surgery. Then suspected, it's viral. Let me just double check whether this might be COVID-19. Uh-huh. And we did a rapid test, and it was positive. So he also made an appointment for the rest of his family that morning because they thought they had maybe some calls underlying. And consequently, the rest of the family tested positive, including the 4-month-old baby. But they were not very sick. None of them were extremely sick. He was the worst off with his tiredness. He was partially vaccinated, so he will pass through as an unvaccinated person. And again, as I've said, after him and his family, I saw 7 other patients. Because I am on the advisory committee of the minister on vaccines, I then alerted my fellow committee members and said, listen, something strange. All of a sudden, I have seen patients coming in today with very different symptoms. Fatigue is not really the prominent symptoms that we see with Delta. I suspect something is going on. They only have been able to tell us at the beginning of this week that it's a new variant.
Right.
But after them, I also saw other people as well with the same type of complaints, as well as my other colleagues. So
okay.
It's not only related to my surgery.
Sure. So when we spoke earlier, you were telling us that the patients that you started seeing were coming with fairly mild symptoms of a viral infection. You tested, it was COVID, but the symptoms were very different. They were fatigue, they were body aches. How sick were the people with this new variant? How sick were they, the people you were seeing?
Only 2 were sick. One was a child, and the child was actually very sick. Temperature of around about 40 degrees and a pulse rate of 130. Very lethargic. The question was, should I admit or should I just wait and see what's going to happen? So that child, around about, I said, 6-7 years old, I decided to immediately put her on Tamiflu because the history was less than 24 hours. We did make the diagnosis of COVID-19 with a rapid test. And I sent the child home with very strict instructions to the parents. We phoned 24 hours later to hear whether what's happening. The parents told us the child is looking much better. And because I was worried, I physically followed up the child 48 hours later, and the child was, you couldn't believe, much, much better. There was no fever. The pulse dramatically dropped to normal. And that was the worst patient I have seen. The rest, very mild. No one needed oxygen. Except for the child and one other patient, the most of their pulse rates were under 100, oxygen levels normal, no loss of smell, no loss of taste, no severe congestion in the sinuses or any of that. And that's it. So that's mild symptoms. And so far, all the patients that we have seen had recovered on just conservative measurements and been treated at home.
And
I
beg your pardon. Go on, doctor.
No. I wanted to say I spoke with my other colleagues as well that are general practitioners, and they also experienced more or less the same. None of us had admitted any patients at this stage. Spoke with the hospitals this morning. One or two patients admitted with COVID-19. So there's no huge influx of severity at this stage. It might change, but now tomorrow will be the day 12 that we are aware of the symptoms. And remember, we are in the epicenter.
Yes.
Pretoria is the epicenter, and this is what we are seeing. So it might change going forward, but
okay,
that's what we are seeing now.
And talk a lot about how transmissible this variant seems to be. It's most scientists say it seems to be behind an explosion of cases in parts of South Africa. How many known cases of Omicron are there now in South Africa, and how long do you believe it's been present there in your country?
Well, it can't be very long because our infectivity rate was up until the beginning of last week, before the 18th, less than 1%. So our infectivity rate today is, I think it's 9.8%. The people in Gauteng, there was just over 12,000 people tested today, and 12,300. And 2,300 was positive. So quickly worked it out. Nearly one in six people was positive that has been tested today. So we will see by the end of this coming week how many of them are developing severe symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that we can tell you. So it's
okay.
Not that amount of people.
Doctor, can I ask you about vaccine rates? Very low across the continent, about 10% on average across Africa. I think roughly a third of South Africans are vaccinated. We don't know yet how much protection the current vaccines give to this new Omicron variant, but is there a problem that you see? Is this a problem for the rest of the world because the rest of the world, the developed world, didn't pay enough attention to vaccinating the developing world? How much of that is a problem for South Africa? Is this a global failure in your view?
So, yes, it's definitely a global problem. So the saying goes that no one is safe until Africa has been vaccinated. And the reason why we say that is we know that Africa has got a higher incidence of HIV patients untreated or not very compliant with medication. And this is where we will see, and it's been documented that our scientists, and it's been known among the scientists all over the world, that that is where your variants are going to, and your mutations are going to start in those type of people. So if they are not vaccinated, and I know that you can't treat, it's not the rest of the world's problem to treat each and everyone with HIV. But as long as we don't help and assist Africa, no one will sleep well at night, not even Australia, not America, and not Europe. So it becomes, in the end of the day, the world's problem.
Okay.
unfortunately.
South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa has criticised the travel bans being placed on South Africa and a number of other Southern African countries. He said they should be immediately and urgently reversed. He said there is no scientific justification whatsoever for keeping the restrictions in place. And others have pointed out, I think he pointed out too, that it could backfire because if you put border bans on any country that raises the alarm about a variant of concern, it might discourage countries from raising that alarm. What's your view about the bans, the travel bans being placed on South Africa and other nations?
I've got exactly the same sentiments than the president on this. I think it's premature. I do understand that that other countries want to protect their people. Yes, how are you going to protect your people? Not really by closing your borders, but get your people to wear masks, the social distancing, we call it the non-pharmaceutical interventions, get them to be vaccinated, and then get Africa to be vaccinated. If you know, at least then you will sleep much better at night knowing that at least Africa has been vaccinated, even though it's one dose is better than nothing. But by closing borders and by putting people into quarantine for 2 weeks when they arrive in your country, you know, it only puts the people of the country or the people visiting that country into hardship, financial hardships as well. It is another, if all those quarantine and the hotels are for free for people coming into your country, that's something different.
Okay.
But as far as we know, people need to pay for that.
Angelique Kutsia, appreciate your time. Thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
No, that's a pleasure. And please stay safe and get your people vaccinated.
Thank you.
And we'll try to do the same in South Africa.
Yeah, and maybe we can be more help. Dr. Angelique Kutsia, the South African doctor who alerted authorities about patients with the Omicron variant. She's the president of the South African Medical Association.